Well, now some 22 hours out from the polls closing in the Pennsylvania primary, let's make sense of the numbers. Joining me is WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies and WHYY's Emily Previty. Dave, Emily, welcome back to Newsworks Tonight.
Good to be here.
Great to be here. Thanks, Dave.
Part of the excitement in anticipation of yesterday's primary balloting was the impact of redistricting and the impact of the potential year of the woman. And with that, I'm wondering, does it explain why so many formidable women ran this year?
You know, I think that what you could see in the Philadelphia area was that the redistricting made several districts more attractive to Democrats generally. And so you saw more women and men jump in, but particularly, it seems, women. Madeline Dean, for example, who won the nomination in the Montgomery County Congressional District, had been planning to run for lieutenant governor. She saw that district and said, wow, there's an opportunity. But I do think we're seeing women particularly motivated, maybe by President Trump. And so, yeah, there's some impressive women that got in this time.
I also think that redistricting caused more crowded primaries in general for the congressional races because, like Dave said, you know, Democrats stood a chance in districts where they had not before, which encouraged more candidates. And it also discouraged some Republican incumbents from running again. And then that brought out more candidates on the GOP side that, you know, there might have been uncontested primaries, if not for redistricting, and, you know, some other factors like fatigue with partisan gridlock and divisions in the Republican Party.
Emily, Pennsylvania was among four states conducting primaries yesterday, and of national interest looking down the road is what impact might yesterday's result portend for control of the U.S. House come November. Is it your sense that the women who prevailed yesterday can indeed double down in November and win?
So there were seven female candidates who emerged yesterday who will continue with fall campaigns, all Democrats, five from contested races. Four are favored to win in the fall. So that's Susan Wild in the seventh, Madeline Dean in the fourth, Mary Dean Scanlon in the fifth. And they all won competitive primaries. And then you have Chrissy Houlihan in the sixth, where she was uncontested. But the other three are not expected to win. Democrat Jess King, she was uncontested in the 11th, and she'll challenge freshman Republican Lloyd Smucker in the fall. But King is a long shot. Then you also had women winning in the 14th and 15th on the Democratic side. But those districts are expected to remain Republican.
You know, Dave, if the four women from the Philadelphia area and the Lehigh Valley all win their seats in the fall, three, I think, are pretty much expected to. One is a little bit more of a toss-up. If those four all win, that will result in a net gain of three Democratic seats within the state delegation. I think there are hopes that they can take a couple of more, one of them being the Bucks County seat where it was a man, not a woman, who won, Scott Wallace, and then one way out west where Connor Lamb, the Marine Corps veteran who won that special election, has a shot at a Republican incumbent. The best case scenario probably for Democrats is that they win five more seats than they had coming into this year, which would give them 10 out of 18, a far cry from the 5 out of 18 that they had last year.
And Dave, following the dollars in our area, the local electricians union is typically a powerful force. What role did they play yesterday?
Yeah, the Electricians Union, which is the biggest spending political committee in the state, as far as I know, put roughly $500,000 into three races and lost all three. One of them was a congressional race, the one that's in Delaware County, Philadelphia, and Montgomery County. They had a Philadelphia candidate there who lost overwhelmingly. That was Rich Laser. They made a big investment there. But also a state legislative seat where they put $112,000 into a candidate. And they lost that seat. It was won by Elizabeth Fiedler, a former reporter here who relied on a grassroots base. So, you know, I think outside money clearly played a role here, but it was generally not decisive.
Emily, money is scarcely a problem for either Wagner or Wolf. Is Harrisburg gearing up for that war?
Certainly. And in a lot of ways, it's already begun, long begun. And I would say also that since we're on the subject of money in the gubernatorial race, turnout being low like it usually is relative to a general and then perhaps low, we'll know a little bit more when we look at the numbers more closely in the coming days and weeks for primaries as well. There were some precincts that were reporting high turnout, and where we were in the few places where we were hearing that happened to have a higher percentage of Republican voters. Some people are saying the reason for that is more spending at the top of the ticket, the governor's race, but only on the Republican side because that was the only contested race for that office.
That we have focused on some of the high-profile contests. I'm curious, are there results in other down-ballot races that we should be paying attention to?
There are a couple of things, Dave. I think in Philadelphia, you are seeing candidates independent of the Democratic organization succeed. Elizabeth Fiedler in South Philadelphia is one. Chris Rabb in Northwest Philadelphia, who beat the organization 2 years ago. They really came after him this time. He survived that challenge. Also, there's an interesting race in Bucks County in suburban Philadelphia, Dave, where there was a special election because Representative Scott Petry resigned to go run the Philadelphia Parking Authority, of all things. In a very close election, Helen Tighe narrowly beat the Republican candidate, the first Democrat to win in 34 years. That might bespeak a Democratic surge, a lot of enthusiasm among Democratic voters. Hard to say. I mean, every election has its own dynamics. In western Pennsylvania, a seat went the other way. But it does seem to me that voters in at least the Philadelphia suburbs, progressive voters, are energized.
Well, at least we've touched on possibilities, if not likelihoods, at this juncture. Emily, Dave, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.